The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us the second hour of the out. Boy, I'll tell you, I thought I cleared that up through the break. Sorry. It only comes out when I talk is that little frog in my throat. So we'll get him out of there in a minute. But thanks for joining us here for the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and firearms and wildlife and sometimes a little politics and, you know, things like that. So 410 WCBM 680, 410-922 is our number if you'd like to have a conversation, like to have one with you. And right now we have our buddy John on the line. Good morning, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. What's new and exciting?
Well, I tuned in a few minutes late, but you were talking about 30-30. It sounded like you were reminiscing over
I was, yes,
how much
indeed.
You enjoyed it. And I had decided a while ago, well, a year ago, my best buddy and I were going to hunt with lever action rifles. He's got a 30-30. I've got a 44.
Oh, yeah.
And, last year, we were going to, but we never did. So this year, I checked zero on mine, and with or without him, I'm going to hunt with the first rifle I ever killed a deer with.
I love it.
You know, there's something about a lever action rifle that is just great.
It's light. It's maneuverable. It's easy to use in any kind of, you know, ground or stand situation. And
yeah.
It just, you know, and if you don't try to overshoot it or stretch the barrel, as some people like to say, you know, you can take a deer up to 100 yards. The one I shot with a 30-30, I thought was a bigger buck than it was. It wasn't a great buck. It was only a 4-point, but I was very happy with it. I shot that through a laurel bush with the 30-30 with open sights at about 65 yards. So
now, I tell you what, I gave up open sights about 20 years ago.
Well, I did too, but you know, I like to keep a couple guns with open sights just, you know, because you can, you know.
So, well, you can, but I can't.
Right.
I've got a great 4-power scope on mine because, you know, 44, even with a 20-inch barrel, it is really a short-range gun.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
But you are throwing a pretty big piece of lead. It's just not moving real fast and kind of falls off a cliff at 150 yards.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I've got a 450 Marlin in the Marlin lever action. One of the original ones, not the latter day ones, and pre-Remington, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy just handling that gun. Now, I bought a scope, I bought a base and I bought the rings and I bought a scope for it. I don't know if I'm going to put it on for this season. We're allowed to use straight wall cartridges here in Maryland this year during the firearm season in the shotgun counties as well as the rifle counties. So, you know, the 450 Marlin, the 350 Legend, the 444, 4570, they all qualify now to be used during the shotgun season as well. So, if you'd like a great article on straight wall cartridges and, you know, what the regulations and so forth are in Maryland, you can go online to Maryland Hunting Quarterly. And, Jimmy Amrine did a lot of research and did a great job. It's our lead story in MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com and the hard copies, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, describing the different cartridges and, you know, what the actual rules are. Huh. And basically, it's straight wall cartridges are legal in all counties during, you know, the firearm season in Maryland. So,
wow.
You know,
yeah. I would take that over a, you know, over a slug or
yeah.
I had the opportunity.
Yeah. So the 450 Marlin will be with me, with or without a scope. I got to figure out how to do that. So, I mean, I've mounted, you know, dozens of scopes myself, and I'll probably do that here. Getting to the range might be the challenge. So I may leave the scope off of that one for this season. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know.
So. Anyway, I just want to touch bases.
Well,
and, wish you luck this season, and I hope I have some too.
Well, but, thank you.
The older I get, the less I care whether I kill deer.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that how we get?
Yeah.
You know?
I enjoy the camaraderie of some of the guys I only see once a year.
Right.
And
right.
I'm really looking for an opening day of rifle season for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying the solitude more so than the camaraderie. I mean, when I go to Sick of Deer Camp, I mean, I love it, enjoy it. We have a great time. We communicate, you know, three, four, five, six of us in the blinds. And did you shoot? No, that was somebody on public land. Did you shoot? No, that was back beyond me. You know, did you shoot? Yeah, I shot. You know, are you seeing anything? And you're texting back and forth and all that. And then you get together at the end of the day and you have a meal or something like that. That's fun. I enjoy that. But I also enjoy the solitude of just getting out there and just, you know, watching and absorbing everything that's out there. So
yeah, when I hunt during the week, I'm just hunting usually in the deep woods of public land.
Yeah.
And by myself, and it's a whole different experience. It's,
yep.
It's real hunting as opposed to when we're all hunting together. It's, to me, it's not hunting. It's just socializing. you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, I do.
But you get more deer that way. You know,
sometimes you do,
hunting,
yeah.
We're hunting tree farms and deer passing through.
Yep.
You're not going to get a really nice buck, but you get something.
Sure. I got it.
Anyway.
All right, buddy. Appreciate
your
call. Hey, thanks for calling. Take care.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Alan in Finksburg. Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. Yeah, you were talking about harem does a while ago. I kind of agree with you, not killing a, you know, the wise old doe, but I sat on my stand 3 days in a row, and that harem doe come out there with her little harem of does and one nice 8-point buck, but he stayed back. Every morning he stayed back. She come out. She wisely figured me out.
Oh, yeah.
Turned her whole harem around and sent him back into the brush.
Yep, that's what they do. That's exactly what they do.
On the fourth day, I was there for a week. I was in West Virginia. I was there for a week. And on the fourth day, I ended up having to kill her. And on the fifth day, I got the 8-pointer. But like,
well, that,
said,
you know, you fixed it, didn't you?
Yeah. Like you said, you don't like to do that.
Right.
She was wise. I mean, you know, she knew exactly what to look for. She knew her, like you said a while ago, she knows her area.
Yeah,
knows what's supposed to be there and what's not supposed to be there, and I was not supposed to be there.
I watched this doe, the one in Baltimore County. I watched this doe come across the field, like you said, with her harem. I think she had five or six with her all the time. She came out in the open field, and a C-130 transport plane flew over from Martin or Dover or somewhere. Okay, I mean, it was low, so I'm guessing it was from Martin Airport. And this thing goes flying over, and all the deer are feeding. And the plane gets almost overhead, and the doe looks straight up at that plane. And I thought, man, I have never seen a deer look at a plane like that. She was the only one that raised her head.
Right, right.
So I'm like, oh, man, we don't know what we're up against here.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, they're extremely intelligent. There's no question. I mean, wary, I guess, is the word. But, yeah.
You're talking about looking up. That particular doe, I was up in a tree stand, way up in a tree.
Yeah.
And every time she would come out and she'd get into a certain position there, she'd look straight up that tree at me.
Oh, yeah. This doe that I'm talking about, has a buddy, and a little younger and a little smaller, and I think she's in training, but I call them the gruesome twosome. Other than me, they're always busting me, and you know, but no matter where I am in the woods, and no matter what angle she comes in from, she's got me nailed right there.
So, no kidding! Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it's I've let her come in. She'll come in to, you know, 40, 50 yards with 4 or 5 deer, and all of a sudden she'll just stop. The wind's in my favor. She'll just stop. She'll look. She'll turn around and take them all with her, just like you said. I mean, it's just.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
Yep, exactly. But like I said, I don't want to kill a deer just to kill, you know, just to kill a deer. But.
So you think she survived to this season?
I saw her this season.
Oh,
yeah.
You saw her already again this season?
Oh, yeah. Okay. First day I was in the stand. I was in the stand at sunrise. I heard the blue jays. I got ready with the bow, you know, because I know whatever it is close. And she busted out behind me, her and her buddy, the gruesome twosome, busted out behind me and stopped and stomped and then ran off. So I'm like,
oh my,
what, man, I can't even cut a break on the first day. So,
well, like I said, I was there for only a week in West Virginia. I figured I had to do something if I wanted to get that buck.
Well, you did.
I did.
You know, and look, I don't have any compunction. What's the word? I don't have any
qualms.
Good word. Thank you. How about shooting a doe? Okay.
Right.
I just don't at the moment need the aggravation and the hassle, and she doesn't need to die just because she needs to die.
Right.
You know,
right.
I had several encounters with good bucks there last year before and after she busted me. So I'm just going to deal with it, you know?
Take your chances, right?
Yep. Now she cost me one. Yeah, that's another story there.
So. That's going to be an IOU. Huh?
Yeah, it could be an IOU being collected. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've talked to you before.
Yeah.
That's why I said the two L's and an A, because that's the way you spell your name.
Yeah, two L's and an A. That's right. The correct way.
That's exactly.
Uh huh.
But like I said, I've spoken to you before. I listen to your program every Saturday morning when I can.
Oh, I appreciate that. Where are you calling from?
I work for a company in Finksburg, and I'm out here working today.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation.
Uh huh. You
all
too.
Right, buddy. Take care.
Good luck.
Bye bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680.
So. From an outsider looking in, it just seems like you are having a flirtatious relationship with this doe.
Flirtatious?
That's right. It's a weird kind of flirtation. She's flirting with you, and you're flirting with her, and it's a question of, no pun intended, who's going to pull the trigger first? I mean, because obviously she's one up on you.
You ever see the movie Fatal Attraction?
Yeah. Yeah. Similar.
We could be talking Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because that's what it sounds like.
You never know. You never know. It's possible, Chris. It's very possible.
I mean, the fact that you two have been chasing each other for how many years?
Well, just 2 years. Yeah,
two years.
Yeah, just 2 years.
You know, and I'm sure... With what you tell me about her, you're not the first person she's seen, but she has an affinity for you.
Apparently. Well, unfortunately, after the mishap with the big buck last year on the next to the last day of firearm season, the last day of firearm season, the last vision I had of as the season just came to a close at sunset on the final Sunday, in January, you know, the firearm season, guess who showed up? The last two deer I got to see on stand.
She did.
Of course.
And her friend.
Of course.
In training.
Yes.
So they if you take her, she's got another one right behind her that's just going to tease you.
Well, you know, that's true. That is true. However, in firearm season, I usually have more than one round in the gun.
Gotcha. But, so, I mean, do you want to end that relationship?
No,
fast?
No.
Of course not.
No, it's more of a challenge.
There you go.
You know, it's more of a challenge.
There you go.
You know? And I actually think she's the one that the number one buck on the hit list last year, I actually think that is the one he wound up courting and breeding. So... we'll see. We will see. So, anyway.
And you can't write this stuff.
No, you can't write this stuff. I mean, if I ever wrote a book about, I would be, you know, I'd be like Meshack Browning, although he was a commercial deer hunter and bear hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the multitude of experiences. He was 44 years in the life of a hunter. I would be, you know, 53 years right now in the life of a hunter. So people crack me up. Why did it take so long for us to get a deer season in Maryland? You know, the first deer season in Maryland, you know, regulated deer season was 1933. And it was only, I believe, in Garrett and Allegheny County, or maybe just Garrett County. I can't remember. They harvested 31 animals. Okay. And I said, well, that's because of the local hunting hero out there in Garrett County, which was Meshack Browning. You know, and in his course of his career, he claims, you know, 2,000 deer and 300 bears and all this stuff. I mean, the guy wiped out the entire population of deer in Western Maryland single-handedly almost. And he, you know, he'd load them on a rail car and bring them to Baltimore and sell the meat. You ought to read the book, 44 Years in the Life of a Hunter by Meshack Browning. And believe it or not, I know his grandson. I know the guy that had his rifle and his original manuscript and his hunting knife and all that type of thing. How about that? So let's talk to Mark in Baltimore, and then we will continue on and talk about some of our sponsors. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Good morning. I have a joke for you.
I'm surprised. What's up?
This man's driving down this country road. And all of a sudden, a rabbit runs out in front of him, and he hits it and kills it. And he gets out of his car, and he picks the little rabbit up, and he's so distraught. He's crying. He's really upset, and he can't get over the fact that he killed this rabbit. So this woman comes along in a beat-up pickup truck, and she sees him standing there holding this rabbit. And she stops. She says, "What's wrong?" He says, "I killed this poor little rabbit. I can't help it. I'm really upset. I'm distraught. I can't help it. I'm really hurt that I killed this rabbit." And she said, "Hold on, just hang on a minute. I'll be right back." So she goes to her truck and she rummages through her truck and she comes back with this can, and she sprays it on the rabbit, and the rabbit jumps up and hops off, gets about 3 feet, turns around and waves. Gets about 3 more feet, turns around and waves. Gets about 3 more feet, turns around and waves. And he says, "Man, what was that? That's a miracle. How did you do that?" And he looks at the can and it says, "Hair Restore. Gives life to dead hair and permanent wave."
Mark, you are reaching. Do you know the definition of a cheapskate? Do you know the definition of a cheapskate?
I think I do.
Okay. That's the guy that asked for separate checks at the Last Supper.
Yeah, right. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. Have a good day, buddy. Thanks, Mark.
You too. Bye.
All right, man. Thanks. Hair Restore gives life and restores life to dead hair and permanent wave. Let's talk to Mike in Baltimore City about fishing, and then we will take that break. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Good.
I have a question about bluefish.
Okay.
When do they come into the bay?
You mean what time of year?
What time of year, yes.
Go ahead.
You're fine.
No, that's all right.
Where can a shore fisherman be able to catch them?
Mm. Well, there was a large school of Taylor Blues on the western shore coming off the Bay Bridge, so I'm guessing the jetty there at Sandy Point State Park might be a good spot to catch them.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have access to a boat. You know?
Right.
And but, I haven't caught any in a couple of years, and...
Yeah, you might want to try the Bill Burton Fishing Pier right off 50 there as you enter Cambridge on the chop on the chop tank.
Yeah.
You might want to go to Point Lookout and try the causeway down there. Try the fishing pier down there.
Oh, okay. All right. No problem.
All right. Yep. And in Baltimore, you know, any of the local piers there in East Baltimore would be okay.
Yeah, I'll take a ride to get to fishing, so it don't matter.
Yeah, I understand. As far as those little Taylor Blues, if that's what you want to catch, and they, you know, when I say that, they're not terribly hard to catch, but they're not terribly big either. But a little plastic shad.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a 2.5-inch shad,
okay,
on a 1/2-ounce lead jig head, cast and retrieve. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
Or top and bottom rig, if you want to go that route, you can do a piece of peeler crab or bloodworm. That'll work too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because one year, about 5 years ago, I was happened to be Fort Edgewood, Fort Smallwood.
Okay, yeah, that's a good place.
We was just out there fishing, and man, we caught a mess of bleeds one day.
Yeah, they're fun. Well, they're good. You know, if you fillet them or leave them whole if you want and smoke them. But the only thing I don't like about the bluefish is what they call that bloodline or the dark line down the lateral line.
Right.
That's very, very oily to me. So when I fillet a bluefish, I split the fillet the long way and trim all that. In a fresh fish, it's like a dark red color. But if you cook it, it's going to turn gray on you. And it's just fat is all it is. And that's where all the fishy flavor is. So, you know, for smoking, it's helpful. If you want to smoke it, smoke a bluefish. But to eat it, no thanks. I don't like that on anything, salmon or bluefish or tuna or anything. So,
right.
There you go. All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right, bud. Thank you. Have a good weekend. So you put it off long enough. Fall's the time to pull the trigger and dress up that backyard. Fall is fun times for great cool weather, you know, get-togethers in your backyard with your family. Backyard Billy's in Graysonville is your go-to place for making backyards fun. They got that giant selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs, especially those Adirondack chairs for relaxing in the fall weather with your family, no question. You can see that whole selection from Route 50 at Exit 44 in Kent Island. You'll find swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds, which you may need for your fall stuff, in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. Inside Backyard Billy's huge showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills by Traeger and Big Green Egg and Kamado Joe. And you can browse the great-looking garden decorations for any lifestyle, theme, and budget. And Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBilly's.com or give them a call, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50 at Exit 44. Your backyard is gonna look just great. Creative Concepts Taxidermy. With 30 years experience, realistically, accurately, and artistically recreates animals from all over the world. That's John George. He specializes in big game animals from Africa, Asia, and North America. Located at 7194 Montevideo Road in Jessup, Maryland, Creative Concepts is convenient to Route 100, just off Route 1 and the 95-295 interstates. The Creative Concepts Taxidermy Studio is 3,800 square feet with a 19-foot ceiling, and the showroom is 1,500 square feet. A 1-ton crane from the floor can handle the largest life-size projects like life-size Cape buffaloes and big African and Asian game, big North American game, too, like muskox and American bison. Creative Concepts supports nonprofit conservation organizations and wounded veterans groups. Maryland's premier life-size studio, Creative Concepts Taxidermy, provides 5-star service for any animal from any continent, including those right here in Maryland. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or on weekends with an appointment. Visit creativeconcepttaxidermy.com or call 410 410-799-1558. That's 410-799-1558 for Creative Concepts Taxidermy. And we will be right back after this.
Well, a couple of stray showers here into the Saturday forecast for us. What used to be Tropical Storm Beta marching through the Carolinas and out into the Atlantic. And a shower or two, heaviest rain south of us, and a high of 75 this afternoon. Low tonight, 63. Warmer weather tomorrow with some sunshine showing up and a high of 80 degrees. Monday, sunshine, a high of 82. And we do see more fallish numbers showing up early October for us here in Baltimore. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stop my car. I've got too many fish in back. Please, DNR, stay too long at the bar. When I counted them, I must have lost track. I'm sure you've heard lots of crazy words about why a licensee lacked. While he was hunting birds, the strangest thing occurred. A wolf wound up in his sack. DNR, don't stop my car. With my bow and arrow, that deer I whacked. Please, DNR, I don't need to go far. I'm only trying to sneak home from my hunting shack. My eyes are awfully blurred. That whiskey was my third while I hunted for that big rack. Hunting sober is preferred. Your breathalyzer, I demure. Got another bottle in my back.
This guy's a bad dude, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah.
Sounds like one of the guys you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Inside joke, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let that go. Gosh, that guy, I don't know. At least he has the guts to sing about it, right? Please, DNR, don't stop my car.
Exactly.
That's the kind of guy that needs stopped.
Big time.
Yeah, you're right.
Big time.
Big time. Big time. Any callers on the line there, Uncle Chris?
No, sir.
Well, we need a call.
That's right.
Hey, I will tell you something, Chris, and what? You'll be glad to hear this.
Okay.
I'm still working with CVA trying to get an approval on doing the promotion this year.
Good.
You know, their times are tough in all manufacturing.
Exactly.
You know, and being muzzleloaders, they're not exactly in demand like you know, handguns and home protection. So, yeah. Gun sales are up, what, 80% this year?
Something like that.
It's amazing.
I had gone online just to curiosity, and there's one place located here in Baltimore that, as far as an HQL, they don't have anything open until the end of November.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you check out the Bel Air gun range where we shot that day? They do all that those courses and stuff.
That's true, too. I will have to check into that. Now, I'm getting conflicting information because this particular place, and their name is not going to be mentioned, says
right.
That, you know, if you have the if you've gone through the hunting education, that you don't need to take the classroom work.
Really?
That's what this says.
That's interesting.
I'm going to have to do some investigation. I'll have to probably call the Maryland State Police and get it right from their mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I have my hunter education card. I have my bow hunter education card. I didn't know where they were until the other day, and I located them again. I was very glad to see it. So I don't carry them with me, but it's nice to have them in a nice, secure place.
Exactly. So. Keep them locked up in your gun locker.
Well, I've got a couple places. Yeah, gun locker's a good place. That is an excellent suggestion, actually. So,
that was exactly where it is, and it's related to what it is that you've got going on.
Exactly.
Easy to remember.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, a buddy Josh sent me a picture of earlier, the first hour, sent me a picture of a sporterized 3040 Craig. And I did a little research in the meantime on the 3040 Craig, developed in the 1890s for military use. And I remember guys carrying 3040 Craigs when I was a kid for deer hunting, you know. Still a good caliber. It's a 308, basically, 30 caliber. He said he's related to the discussion about a quest to take game with a special firearm. He's come to own a rifle that was sporterized by his great-great-grandfather for his grandfather. His father inherited it, and now it's been given to me. It's a great old 3040 Craig, which was, you know, military at the time. So I have a gun that my father brought back from World War II, which is a 7.7 caliber. Basically same thing as a 30-06 or 308, 7.7 Japanese Arisaka bolt action rifle that was sporterized, and I had further refined, and I think I might carry that this year in the deer stand someday.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yep, it's an old Japanese bolt-action rifle. The safety is you've got to press it in with your palm and turn it. It's a big knurled knob on the back. You press in and turn to turn it on and off as far as the safety is concerned. But I had a set of Williams open sights put on that.
Uh-huh.
I thought about a scope for it at one time, but...
No.
You know, so
yeah, be a purist with that one.
Close range, you know, I'm thinking out the window of a sika deer, blind or something like that, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But I still want to carry the 450 Marlin as well. So I'm just betwixt and between. And trying to think of the name of it.
Well, take them both, and then
I bought a 308.
Okay.
Made by Franke developed by Benelli. Okay. And I got a deal on it, a really nice deal on it, and I have this 3-9 that I bought from Clyde's, 3-9 Leopold that I bought from Clyde's. That I wanted the 2x7. Leopold scope for the 450 Marlin,
mm-hmm.
but I might move that on to the 308, and maybe still look for the 2-7 or 1.5-4 that I like for the 450 Marlin. Cause as somebody said, you know, the straight wall cartridges, they just drop off the table at 150 yards. What I mean by that and what the caller meant by that is when you shoot them in at 100 yards, you want to be like 2 inches high and then they'll be dead on at 150. But after that, it's anybody's guess how much drop there is. I mean, it's not a guess. There's ballistic charts, but when you get out to, you know, 12, 14, 18 inches of drop after 150 yards, you know, you got to be pretty good to figure that out. So, you know, so it's a 150 yard gun. So that's why I wanted the 2-7. But anyway, I digress. I just keep talking. Who's that? Hey, look at that. You don't need to take the training if you have Hunter Ed. That's Camo Preacher checked in with us. Morning, Camo Preacher. I guess you'll be in Baltimore tomorrow for your ordination, is what I heard. So, Russ, Camo Preacher, Reverend Russ. So, Thanks for checking in on that. I heard a door slide behind me. And I guess that's Sparky, but she's not getting on the radio today. She's just taking a break. Hi, baby. Yeah. So 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's talk to Tom. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
What's up, my brother?
Hey, man. How you been?
Living the dream.
Retired.
Yes.
Tired and retired.
Yeah, both of them. I had less work to do when I was working.
Gotcha.
I make sure I stay busy.
Well, that's good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah. You know I'm not a hunter, but I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do how many points a deer has have anything to do with its age?
No.
No. Okay.
No. No. Has nothing to do with its age. It has everything to do with nutrition and genetics.
Okay. I always wondered that.
Yeah.
I didn't call and ask you.
Okay. So, yep. Fawns are born May through July. First year, you know, that you can, that, you know, they're out there in the wild for hunting season when they're 4 or 5 months old, 6 months old. If you see a single deer walking around that looks to be, bewildered or, you know, just unafraid, that's going to be a button buck. That's the nature of the beast. Their first year, they're just stupid. Okay. And you, on top of their head, you'll see little buttons is what they're called. The little tiny antlers. Okay. Year and a half, you'll start to see what that animal's going to be. Now, a lot of guys say, well, I don't like spikes. You know, they're genetically inferior and all that stuff. Maybe, maybe not. They might be a late fawn. They might have spikes their second year. But the third year, when they're 2.5, that's when you really start to see what the character of the rack is going to be. A 2.5-year-old buck, even a year and a half old buck can be, you know, can have 6 or 8 points. 2.5, you're going to start seeing what that deer is going to kind of look like, but he's going to be narrower and not as tall as he could be. 3.5, he's starting to fill out pretty good. And when somebody right now kills a really nice buck, it's usually about 3.5 years old. I mean, you know, if it's going to be an 8-point, it's going to be a nice 8-point. At 4.5, you're going to be adding mass. You may be adding some characteristics like little stickers around the base or double brow tines or kickers out to the side off the antlers at 4.5. At 5.5, that deer's fully mature, and that's the animal everybody hopes for, is to kill a nice, mature 5.5-year-old buck. 6.5, good. 7.5, they start to decline in the antler mass, and the rack starts to decline. So that's kind of the progression. If you want to see that, I think it's still on display at the big box store at Arundel Mills. If you go back past the hunting counter to where the little shooting range is, and you look up on the wall, there's a progression of antlers there off the same buck. That's, I think, 7 or 8 different. 7 or 8 different years from the same buck, and it's amazing progression from spike to, you know, 10-point or whatever it is. Hi.
Cool. Hey, man, say hi to your bride for me. Take care.
She's standing right here semi-conscious, and now she's leaving. Goodbye. Tom said hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. Robin says so. Hi, Chris.
I'll see you, buddy.
All right, Tom, thanks.
Take care.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Chris, anybody on the line?
No, sir.
No? Okay. Anyway, I started talking about CVA. Chad Scher of Shoot Straight TV is their pro staff guy, and he has a lot of influence on the marketing. And Chad and I have been talking. We're trying to find out if CVA can support the Outdoors and Radio Show giveaway this year. It's looking okay, but I won't know anything until this week. So there you go. I'd like to announce that, but I can't just yet because, you know, coronavirus 2020 has impacted everything we do. So there you go.
Yeah, earlier when you were talking to Glenn about the Eastern Shore, I'm going to refer to it as a muskrat.
The National Outdoor Show. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, looking into 2021, early 2021, I'm beginning to question stuff in January, February, if that's even going to happen.
Really?
That's yeah, but that's my own gut feeling. That
I got you. I got you. National out. National outdoor. If I could type show 2021. There it is. February 26th and 27th. Doors open Friday evening at 5. The show goes Friday night, Saturday. Bucks, Bears, and Stags will be there. And we like to support those folks. They have a great drawing going on right now to support the relief effort in our sister Dorchester County's sister parish in Louisiana that was devastated by the hurricane. Lynn Stavidal has put together a beautiful silver bracelet with all the Chesapeake Bay charms on it. It's a bracelet that would probably go for $2,000, and they're trying to raise money to support the parish in Louisiana. I can't remember which parish it is. It's like a county. Parish is a county in Louisiana. County is a parish. That's what they call them. But anyway, so Robin and I bought some tickets for that to support the National Outdoor Show Foundation, which is giving a grant to some, and supported by Dorchester County a lot in this drawing. So if you call, you can call Thomas's Jewelry in Cambridge, and they can give you some details on that. But Lynn's well known in Dorchester County for her silver jewelry, and it's beautiful stuff. She's got crab pots and crabs and all kinds of cool-looking stuff. So Robin is a collector, and so am I. As a matter of fact, I've got her silver Sycodier key ring for my copy of the key for our car. So pretty cool. Hey, do you have a beautiful fireplace that you never use? You know, we did, too. It was just a hole in the wall that sucked all the heat out of the room. And we fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35. If you want to look that one up, it's a good one. A gas fireplace insert after many disappointing visits to several other Delmarva locations. They did the installation, and they provided us with the friendly and knowledgeable follow-up and service. We both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert remote-controlled. Press the button, we have a fire. Press another button, we have a blower. Press another button, the interior lights up. It is a beautiful thing, the Enviro EX35. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands of gas fireplace inserts. Now's the perfect time to own a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom, Route 50 at Exit 44, and be ready for the cold weather now. Visit BackyardBillies.com or the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's, open 7 days a week, Route 50 at Exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. Macrotech Archery Pro Shop has moved to a new location and is open at 8043 Fort Smallwood Road in Riviera Beach. We'll call it Riviera Beach right now. Just Google 8043 Fort Smallwood Road. Len Marsh is one of Maryland's most respected bow technicians. Actually, he's respected nationally for his expertise, and he's the bow shop owner right there. Beginners and diehard bow hunters and athletes and the well-connected know about Len and Macrotech Archery's reputation for excellence. He has tuned my Bowtech bow, and he's recabled, and he's strung my 10-point crossbow. And Corey, the bow technician, I really respect his ability as well. Macrotech Archery Pro Shop carries Matthews, including the new VXR. They carry Mission bows and crossbows, Bowtech Diamond, which is a great brand, and Hoyt. Crossbows include Raven and 10-point. They tune each bow and crossbow to perfection before it leaves the store, and it will fit your unique draw length and poundage requirements. All the accessories for your bow will be mounted correctly, and they have a full lineup of custom arrows and sights and rests and more. And if you ask, they can observe and correct any shooting issues you may have on the indoor range. Plus, MacroTech is a certified service center for 10 Point, Wicked Ridge, and Horton crossbows. You should stop by the new MacroTech Archery Pro Shop, 8043 Fort Smallwood Road, now open. Visit MacroTechArchery.com or their Facebook page. That phone number, 410-789-7777. Call 410-789-7777. Macro knows bows. Now, look, I've been talking about Creative Concepts Taxidermy for a few weeks. If you just want to see some great taxidermy, stop in the showroom. It's at 7194 Montevideo Road in Jessup, Maryland. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see leopards on a life-size tree. You'll see a muskox full-size. You'll see Cape buffaloes. You'll see all types of exotic ibexes and things like that. You'll see zebras. You will see a lot of different wild game that has been harvested all over the world and recreated by Creative Concepts Taxidermy. 30 years experience realistically, accurately, and artistically recreates animals from all over the world. John George, who is a great painting artist as well, specializes in big game animals from Africa and Asia and North America. 7194 Montevideo Road in Jessup. Creative Concepts is convenient to Route 100. They're just off Route 1, and they're convenient to the 95-295 interstates as well. Creative Concepts supports nonprofit conservation organizations and wounded veterans groups, and they are Maryland's premier life-size studio. Creative Concepts Taxidermy, five-star service for any animal from any continent and any animal that you would harvest here in Maryland. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or on weekends with an appointment. Visit creativeconceptstaxidermy.com or call 410-799-1558. That's 410-799-1558 for Creative Concepts Taxidermy. And I think that concludes our commercials for today. Am I correct there?
Yes, it does.
Good. Do we have any callers?
Yes, we've got Brian from York, Pennsylvania on the line.
Oh, let's talk to Brian.
Hello, Alan.
How you doing, Brian?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm well.
Oh, yes. You talked about lever-action rifles.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, I purchased a 35 Remington.
Yep.
An old 336C model. And
that's a Marlin, right?
I caught a lot of grief over it.
That's a Marlin, right?
Right.
Yep, and, 336 Marlin in 35 Remington. Know it well.
And I lived in Mississippi at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we hunted, it was probably 15 minutes from my house at Knoxville Wildlife Refuge, where there's about 42,000 acres.
Right.
And we'd get all down in the swamps and the bottoms, just all over it down in there. Went hunting one day, and, of course, my brother-in-law giving me a hard time about carrying it because he carried his 270.
Right.
And about dark, we were all going to meet back at the truck at dark.
Right.
A little before dark. Well, here comes, it gets dark, and my brother-in-law is nowhere to be found. Uh-oh. He, John, got lost.
Uh-oh.
Well, we waited a little while, and I heard him shoot. Well, I grabbed my 35, and I fired off a round.
At what?
At a tree.
Oh, you thought he was lost, and he was trying to signal you.
Right.
Get his
directions back. And I heard a shot, and I fired at a tree, and as soon as I did, he shot again. And we waited a little while, and probably 10, 15 minutes later, here he comes out of the woods, white as a ghost.
Uh-oh.
The boy was, just scared to death. It was, by the time he got to the truck, it was black dark.
Right.
And you can't see, in the woods at night, you know, you can't see anything.
Right.
But he finally made it back to the truck, and he said, I'm never saying another bad thing about that 35 again. He said, it made a distinct sound when you fired it.
Right.
And you could tell it wasn't a crack, it was more of a rumble.
Yep.
And he said, as soon as I heard that rumble, I knew who it was. I knew right then where you were and who it was.
So you saved him from being lost.
Oh, yes.
And his second shot was a reply.
Right. He shot right. first, and I shot. Then he replied to mine, and he knew what direction we were in. And
I got you. Okay. I got the whole thing.
He worked his way out of the woods, and that was and broke my heart. I lost that gun in a house fire.
Oh, man.
And wasn't anything left of it. And the only other gun, well, I've always hunted, but I've always had two. I had that, and I have a 722 Remington and 257 Roberts.
257 Roberts. That's a good gun right there, that 257.
My father gave it to me. He bought it used at a pawn shop in the 60s.
Yep.
And
good gun.
Used it for years, and he gave it to me.
Wow. Well, you've had quite the experience. That 35 Remington's a good close-range gun. A buddy of mine has one up in Cecil County. He's used for years, taken a lot of deer with it. And the 257 Roberts, that is a sleeper cartridge right there. That's a nice medium. That's a nice medium range. You know, you can stretch it to 300 yards with a 257. You know, and it's a light bullet. It's easy to carry and not a lot of recoil. That's a good gun right there.
My brother-in-law did a lot of hand loading.
Yeah.
And he would load me some hot rounds with ballistic tips.
Oh, yeah.
And they worked real good on coyotes at long distance.
Yeah, that'll work. Sure.
good little coyote gun. But I haven't hunted in years. I'm disabled now, and I can't get out. I can't get out in the woods, and I miss it, but...
Well, I hope the show brings you back some of those good memories.
Oh, it does. Believe me, it does.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Brian.
It does. Good talk to you, Alan.
Nice talking to you, Brian. Take care.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. You know, that's part of what this show does. We've been out there for a long, long time, working on 32 years this December. And, Chris, that's one of the things we bring to our listeners, is we're able to kind of recreate the scenario in their mind where they're out in the woods or they're out in the boat or they're out crabbing or they're out in the outdoors. And, you know, I enjoy that, and I enjoy sharing the memories from –